And so let us pray. Holy God, as we come to reflect on these words, powerful words, let them be more than that to us. Let them resonate deep in our hearts. Let them soak into us, shape us, and mold us. As we reflect on your word, Holy One, be with us. This we pray in the name of Christ, our rock and our redeemer. Today's passage is one of those familiar scripture readings. It is powerful and people love it. And I've had to preach on it more during weddings than I can count. It's also a reading that I said I would never have at my own wedding. Mainly because it is used so much. And secondly, because a wedding ceremony where romantic love and commitment of two people is celebrated lifts this passage out of its context to a degree that I couldn't bring myself to do. Now, if you had this reading, don't get me wrong, it's lovely. And I encourage you to continue to take strength from it. But let's go back. Let's go back to what we learned last week. Remember when I said that the church in Corinth was anything but a church in unity? There was fighting and inroads, and this passage is part of Paul's address and response to the church, to that fractured community of people in Corinth. To get the whole context of today's passage, we need to actually read it as part of an ongoing response to words that started in chapter 12, which we'll hear on Pentecost Sunday, where Paul starts this address talking to the Corinthians, who were using their gifts as a status symbol. Those gifts of the Spirit. Some of the gifts were deemed more important than others. Paul in chapter 12 says that the gifts should not be compared, and that all the gifts are from the Holy Spirit. That together they make up the diverse body of Christ. As he highlights the different gifts, he tells the Corinthians to remember that all these gifts come from the same God, for the common good. That taken together, these gifts form the body of Christ. So to the fractured church, Paul in chapter 13 lays the groundwork for what holds the church together in the face of our diversity. And as I mentioned before, the church in Corinth was a metropolis, a center of business. It was diverse, filled with Jews and Gentiles, rich and poor, slaves and free. And Paul's rally cry to the people who had fallen into different camps, who were arguing about who was the best, was to stop. He says, stop and love one another. But that love was not the eros that is displayed at a wedding ceremony. The love that Paul is calling the Corinthians to is more challenging. As theologian Sylvie Smith notes, the love Paul is talking about here is not passive and fluffy. The kind of love, it's the kind of love that is up and down, up at dawn, feet on the ground, tools in hand, working kind of love. It builds communities. It nurtures positive social interactions. It is not just a social network, which many of us have come to prefer. Love, as Paul talks about it in this passage, is not something we feel, but a way in which we live. He calls us to let it govern everything we say and do. For Paul, it is the love within the faith community that matters. Not how well we prophesied, teach, or preach. It's not about being a super Christian or getting it all right. It is about living into the love that Christ has for us. That self-sacrificing, going to any length to search for and be with us, to know us and hold us even when, especially when, it is hard. From chapter 12, where Paul chastises the church for focusing on themselves, he turns in chapter 13 and lays a vision for the church as a place where people love each other, not focusing on their needs, but on the needs of others. A church that moves from a childlike frame of mind, what's in it for me, and focuses on what I say and what I do, to a grown, mature faith that lives a cruciformed life, a life patterned and governed by Christ's model of self-giving love. Cruciformed living isn't just about what we do as we gather in the church building or when we are representing the church, but it's a stance for living, for every interaction and every choice that we make. To live in love, to live in the love that we are created in and called to be. This love might be hard for us to grasp, because love in so many ways has become a word that we throw around easily. I love that TV show. I love that dress, don't you? But it's not that fluffy feeling or that deep desire. It's a commitment to a way of life. Paul gives us a bit of a guidebook to check our intentions and our actions. Some could say a little bit of a diagnostic check to ground us and guide us as we enter into being with each other as this body of Christ, as we seek to live this love. He tells us love never gives up. Love cares more for others than itself. Love does not want what it does not have. It does not strut. It does not have a swelled head. It doesn't force itself on others. Love isn't always me first. It doesn't fly off the handle or have a short fuse. It doesn't keep score of our sins, a list of things that have been done against us. It doesn't revel when others grovel. It takes pleasure in the flowing of truth, even when that truth is not what we personally like. It puts up with all things and fights against injustice. Love trusts God always, looks for the best, never looks back, and keeps on going. Oh, how true these next words are. None of us is perfect. And if anything, this last 10 weeks has probably shown us just how not perfect we are. In many of our close relationships, we may have moved from that place of novelty of being with each other, the joy of having more time with each other, to the work of loving one another. The work of relationships grounded in love. Maybe some of those things that love is and isn't you've noticed in your own relationships recently? And that is okay. It's a reality of being human about us not being perfect. And the truth is, Paul's description of what love is and isn't a check mark or a checklist for us to move towards perfection. Because without God's help, none of us would even get close. Paul, what he's trying to do is to assert that at the basic level, beyond the trappings of our faith, the buildings, the songs, the candles, the spiritual practices, and all the gifts we've been given, beyond it all, love is at the heart of who and what we are. Love is at the heart of God. And when the rubber hits the road, it is not how perfectly we do what we do, but that what we do is done with the greatest of love. And as this plays out in life, we see its impact. For time after time, as I sit with people who are dying in their families, it is not the perfect job that they did or the wonderful gifts that they were given. What stands out and what is remembered is the love that is shared. What lives on is the love that we offer to one another, the love that we live in. Paul's challenges us to lean on being loving in every interaction with those in our home, in our circle of influence, at work, with that checkout clerk, and even the IT help guy. Every interaction guided by love. It is not easy work, especially when we are stressed and tired and fearful, but it's important work. Love in action is the way of Jesus, the cross, the way of the church, God's people. And as we seek together to follow Christ, we become a reflection of Christ's love in the world, even if at times it is only a dim reflection. But even in our imperfect following of Christ's love, there is power. The power to transform our relationships into centers where God's love is seen and experienced. The power to shape us and mold us into more consistent agents of God's healing for the world. The power to rework this broken and hurting world into a place where love reigns, not just for some, but for all. This is important. In this time and in this place, and as we seek to continue to be the church, not gathering in a building, but scattered in the world, let us remember that God's love led Christ to the cross for us. That same love is the greatest gift given to us by the Holy Spirit. May we take up that love in all that we do, each and every interaction. For God's love is not fuzzy and passive. It is a love that is powerful and changes the world. Amen.